This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we are gathered here to hear from you, to hear what is in your heart for Shofar Utrecht. We are here, Father. We are ready to hear from you. May you captivate our hearts that we may listen to you. Circumcise us that we may get rid of everything that is not of you. We welcome you in our hearts that you may speak and minister grace to us. In the name of Jesus, and as the kids go to their church, pray for them, O Lord. May you speak to them in a special way. Jesus, you say that let the young ones come to me. The kingdom of heaven is for them that are like kids. Pray, Lord, minister to them. May you anoint their teacher. Glory and honor of your name. Bless you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity to stand before you again to share the word of God. This morning when I was praying about ministering today, the Lord reminded me of 2018 when I was a student, when I was beginning at Utrecht, and then he told me he would give me an opportunity to teach in the church. Then I didn't know whether I would stay in the Netherlands. I was waiting in 2018 and part of 2019. To see if really the Lord spoke or it was my feeling. So it did not come. And I remember sometimes I would have a conversation with the pastor and he would ask me, did the Lord say to you that you should preach in church? Then I would keep quiet about it because I wanted him to give him a confirmation about the same. And then I would pray about it. Is it the real time? But I did not get an answer. So when I got my graduation certificate, I thought maybe I had my own thing. But the Lord has had the big picture. He knew that I would get a job in the Netherlands, stay and be a blessing to someone in any way. So for me, it's a testimony to stand before you. It is a culmination of the fulfillment of the word of God. In my life. Today I want to share with us about Thanksgiving. And it's not really a preaching, it's a reminder. I'm trying to drive a conversation with us about this topic of Thanksgiving. And unfortunately, I forgot to print the slide, so I'll use my phone. Sorry. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of Thanksgiving. But I took one particular definition from the Oxford Dictionary about Thanksgiving. And they say Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude to people or God. And then I also took another definition, which I think fits the biblical definition of Thanksgiving. It says, it's the act of giving thanks and ungrateful acknowledgement of the benefits or favors, especially to God. It's an expression of thanks, especially to God. It can also be a public celebration in acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. If it's divine, then it's coming from power. Another gift. Or someone gives you an assistance in times of need. And it doesn't matter whether the thing is big or it's a small thing. We are always grateful and happy within. And to give an example, I particularly go to Renee for dinners. And she sometimes say, pass me the salt. And I pass. It's a small thing which is you can be ignorant of. But she will always say thank you. Something which is ingrained in her to say thank you. It's one of the ways to show that we are courteous. Even when we come to church, you arrange some few stuff, they will always be saying thank you for failing yourself to serve the kingdom. It's not that we are serving them, but we can learn a lot from them in our lives to say thank you, even for the smallest of the things. And I know you often sometimes feel very bad when you help someone and then they fail to come back and say thank you. You will, to some people it will sound so rude. I can give you maybe a lift home. I'm using my fuel. I'm using my time. And then you don't show an appreciation to say I'm grateful for that. And you often hear statements, especially here, like that person is very rude. They can't even take time to say thank you. Just the word thank you. And it is a very important word in our daily lives. And it is the same way with God. And, you know, when I was receiving this message, I was praying, Lord, the church is your people. You speak to them. Then the Lord, I was held in a trance, like, and he was showing me, like, how I have been praying personally in my life, receiving answers. And instead of taking time, the same time I take to go and pray, ask, to say thank you, and I'm always asking for more. And he was telling me, our hearts sometimes are so ungrateful. The Lord, you ask help from the Lord. And sometimes we even put some words in our prayers like, oh Lord, if you help me, then I will come and say thank you. Should not be so. And sometimes we forget. We are human, we have to accept that, but it's always good. You pray, whether the prayers are answered or they are not answered, to go back to the Lord and tell him thank you. I know it's difficult, especially when you are waiting for answers. And you think about the prayers, the intercessions that you have made, and the answers have not yet come. You think like, doesn't make sense to say thank you. The Lord answers in different ways. He can tell you a yes, he can give you a no, or he can tell you to wait. Sometimes the Lord has already released the answer, and we are not in connection with him enough to realize that he has already told us a no. A no is really difficult to receive or wait. So instead of complaining and arguing in the presence of the Lord, it's good to take time to tell the Lord, thank you. And when I look at the life of David, when you read most part of Psalm was written by David, that guy lived a life of thanksgiving. He was always praising, he was always worshiping, he was always thanking the Lord for victories when he was down, when he was sin. He was in sin. He was thanking the Lord for grace that brings salvation. So we can emulate some biblical examples and always bring our hearts to the Lord and tell him thank you. I thank the Lord for the first song which was saying, we give you praise. And the other which was saying, like, it's your breath in our lungs. So we give you praise. We thank you even for the life that is in us. Because it's a gift. It's a gift from you. And I want us to see a typical example of how human beings sometimes behave. And this was when Jesus was encountering the 10 lepers. This one is in Luke 17, from 11 to 19. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell at his feet. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." So Jesus has encountered 10 men. They are crying for his help. "Oh, Master, help us. We are sick." Do you know, I think this is a typical example of how people are very ungrateful. So they have received their miracle. And I think they are now integrated back in the society. But to them, that was nothing. They received what they wanted. They did not come back to say they are ungrateful for the help. So it's a lesson that we should learn, all of us, that the help we receive from people or from God is not to be taken for granted. And we should take our time, go back to the Lord and tell him, "Thank you." And a question I want to answer is the thought of when should we give thanks and why you think we should give thanks, especially to God. And for this, I take from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." And pray, 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think when Banish was preaching, he talked about this passage. When you read verse 18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." It does not say, "Give thanks when you feel like you should give thanks." No. The Bible is very categorical. It says, like, in all circumstances. That tells you in good times, in bad times, when you feel it, when you don't feel it, you need to give thanks to God. We can always, we always have something to thank the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, that is enough reason to tell the Lord thank you. When you wake up and you are still an ordinal to the faith in salvation, that's something to thank the Lord for. And why should we give thanks? The Bible says it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. It's not something about that. It is what the heart of God is. When you reflect on the life of Jesus, you also realize he was living a life of thanksgiving. Was even when he was feeding the 5,000 people, he takes them bread. He has power because he was God. He had power. So in my senses tell me like God should not thank himself. So he can take the bread, multiply it, and give it to the people. But he thanked the Father and said, "Thank you." Even when he was raising Lazarus from the dead, he prayed, "Father, thank you, for you always hear me. Now I know you'll hear me." So he was living a life of thanksgiving. Even when he was about to be crucified, he thanked the Father in all circumstances. When you're about to die, it's difficult, eh? Why would you thank anyone and you are about to die? But it was not about a feeling. It was about thanksgiving. And I can attest this one is difficult. It's very difficult, especially if you want something so badly. Really difficult to say thank you when you miss it. I remember when I was looking for work in the Netherlands. For those people who cannot speak Dutch, they can relate. It's really an hassle to find a job here. So I went to a company in Eindhoven. Then I did the first interview, I passed. Second one, I passed. Then the third one. So I felt, oh, this one, I think I have it. And then because of how I was brought up, I struggled with prioritization. Like, if you tell me to do something for you, I will always create time to do it. So this question was posed to me, like, what is your weakness? I said prioritization is a problem. So I went on. They told me, oh, it was nice. But we think now if you don't have ability to say no, you cannot work with us. The culture here is like you have to be tough. You have to be stiff. Someone tells you to do something and you have no time, no matter the hierarchy in the job, you tell him, no, I am not doing this. So you don't have it. I was so broken. And then I remember, like, we should thank the Lord in all circumstances. I did not see any reason to say thank you for this. And when I thanked the Lord, I told him, like, it's your will. It has, you know the best, what is best for me. I actually had a lot of peace about it. So it doesn't matter whether you feel it or you don't feel it. Just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And there is peace in what the Lord says. This is the will for us. Then how should we come to the Lord to thank him? Obviously, when we come to the Lord through worship and praise, that's one way to thank the Lord. And for this, I will quote three examples. There are a lot of examples in the Bible, but I chose, the Lord directed me to these three. And the other one is through sacrifices, giving and offerings. And this list is not exhaustive. The first example I will pick is Daniel. Oh, you know what Daniel was. And they were taken to exile in Babylon. And he was there during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then this king was a tough one. He was really an arrogant man. So he had a dream during the night. And then in the morning, he called all the wise men. Were among the wise men. A word came to them, like the king issued an order that we should kill every wise man in the land. Then he told them, like, wait a minute. Why is the order so abrupt? Give us some time, and we will give the interpretation of the dream. And then they prayed, and they got the answer for the dream. And verse 17 of Daniel 2 says, then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now, Ananias was, I think, Shadrach. Mishael was Meshach. Azariah was Abednego. I think those are the commonly known names. His companions. And he taught them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning the misery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men. Then the misery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and insight. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the king's matter. So Daniel went before the Lord with his friends and they prayed, Lord, reveal the mystery of this dream. The Lord answers. He answered them, showed them what the king's dream was. First thing before he goes to report to the king that he has seen a vision and he has gotten the answer, he knelt down and they started worshiping the Lord. So this guy was very grateful. He knew like they were almost dead, because during those time at the order of the king, you could die any time. But they are thanking the Lord. They are giving him praise. They are acknowledging his power, that he gives knowledge to those who have understanding and wisdom to those who are wise. So it's the Lord who gives everything. The food that we have. And I like the life of Banish. Banish in ours is at the leader of our small group. He's always telling us like, he's thanking the Lord for everything, even the food. You know, he's the one who is working. But he's thanking the Lord for the provision. Because the Bible says, like, it is the Lord who gives us power to make wealth. So even if you are the one who takes yourself on the train to go to work, it is the Lord who gives you the strength. If you had no strength, you would not work. Thank the Lord for your family. It's the Lord who has given you the family. The Lord who has given you friends. It's the Lord who has given you a church family here. So we all have a million and one things to thank the Lord for. So, and we should live a life of thanksgiving, even in our prayers. See this prayer. And when you look at the prayer that Jesus taught us, said, Father in heaven, our Lord be your name. He is praising the Father. And thanking the Father for the goodness. So the first thing he does is because of the Lord. Because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's temple. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire that came down, the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped, gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, that is cattle, and 120,000 sheep. So the king and the people dedicated the house of God. The priests stood at their posts, the Levites also, with instruments for music to the Lord that King David had made, giving thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love and was forever. Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, opposite them the priests sounded their trumpets and all Israel stood. So if you know the story, you know like God had promised David to give him a son, Solomon, who shall build the temple. So they have built it. They are dedicating it. And this guy offers a prayer to the Lord. And then the Lord answered immediately with fire, which consumed the offering and the sacrifices. And then the Lord came down in the temple. No one could like enter the temple because the Lord came. So, when they saw the fire and how the Lord had manifested himself, they sang praises to him, saying, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. So they were worshiping. They were giving thanks. They were adoring the Lord, giving him praise for who he is. And then the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. Oh, and these guys offered some good sacrifice. 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. This is how we should become Israel. I'm not saying to go and buy a sheep from the farm to bring to church. But we have equivalent of sheep and cattle. And even in our normal lives, when you want to thank some, when you want to thank someone, I know I usually go to sometimes to from baby showers. You don't go empty-handed. You go with something. You carry something, maybe some clothes or something good, and give a present. But now the current generation doesn't want to come like that to the Lord. Now, when we talk about giving, it is misconstrued, like we're asking for money from people. No, no, no. It's the Lord's own demand is from us. And even the Bible says, do not come to the house of the Lord empty-handed. So we come. And sometimes I like to reflect the word of God with the way we live. Because it then becomes very practical. If you cannot go to your friend's birthday without a present, then I think when you are thanking the Lord, you should come with something. To say, Lord, I thank you. When the Lord answers you are praying for a job, a thanksgiving offering, you bring it and lay it at the altar. You get a child, bring an offering. Because this is the will of God for us. And this is the life that we should live. And let us reflect. Reflect on how we go in the presence of the Lord. Because I know with men it's easy. It's easy. I've seen moments in life when I feel so ashamed to appear at someone's event with nothing. I'm very ashamed. Sometimes I will feel comfortable coming to church with nothing. It is because our minds have been intoxicated with the gospel of offerings and sacrifices. It has been tainted. But it's true. You know something? By the fact that something is fought so bad, doesn't mean it's not true. So the other way to come before the Lord is coming with our offering, with our thanksgiving. We thank him for life. We thank him for the things that he has done, the things that he will do. And that is what exactly Solomon and the people of Israel did. And the other was Mary. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this one is taken from Luke 1, 46. And they call it the Mary song of praise, the Magnificat. And it starts when the angel came to Mary and told her, like, you will have a son. And then he gives her details of how the son shall be named, what he shall do, what his kingdom shall be like. And then she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And when you look at Bible history, she was coming from a very poor family. So it was like a favor to her to carry Jesus. And she comes to the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving. She was so grateful to the Lord for giving her a child and choosing her. Because sometimes something happens in your life and then you wonder, what did you do good? And in the real sense, you realize there's nothing which I did to deserve this. But it's just the Lord who had mercy on me. So some people may argue that she kept herself pure, but the Lord doesn't work like that. If it is about rewarding your works, no. When you look at the Bible very well, the Lord doesn't work like that. So he picked her because he showed mercy on her among the women who were there at that time, and gave her the opportunity to bear the Messiah. And she comes, she doesn't present a need. She's just worshiping and giving glory to the Lord. And I think we should emulate these few examples that I've stated. Our lives will be lives of constant thanksgiving. To people, doesn't matter what people do to you. I've learned in my life to say thank you. Even when at the counter, the guy gives me my change or the receipt, I say, thank you, well. It's my money, so I don't have to say thank you. In fact, I am the one who bought. But it's good, it's courteous to say thank you. And if it becomes part of us, then we will not find it difficult to come to the Lord and say, Lord, we are so grateful for the things that you've done for us. And what should we thank the Lord for? I quoted a few examples. Free gift of salvation that he has given us. It is salvation that made a difference in our lives. So it's a gift for us that someone would offer to take your place in judgment. And then he says, I have redeemed you. You are set free. What a love. There can never be any great love than Jesus dying for a sinner like me, taking my place in judgment so that you would receive salvation. Salvation is free. And then we thank the Lord for the other things like family, friends, and the fellowship, the church. There are people who don't have fellowship because their countries have a lot of persecutions on Christians. And we are here, we are free to worship, we are free to hold small groups. It's such a privilege. We did not do anything to deserve it. It's the Lord who extended his mercy to us. And health and wealth. When John was writing to one of his friends, he told him, I thank the Lord for giving you health and prospering you materially also. So it is the Lord who gives us power to make wealth. So the money we earn at our work, the things that we do to sustain us daily, it's the Lord who gives us strength to do them. And for all answered prayers, I know we have various prayers, a lot of them, healing and deliverance, everything. And all unanswered prayers, because the Lord is telling us, it's my will that you give thanks in all circumstances. Doesn't matter what. And said a million other things. There are so many things that we need to thank the Lord for. Like I said, it's a reflection in our lives of areas where we sometimes received a favor from the Lord and we forgot to come back to him to say, Lord, I'm so thankful. So thank you for helping me. The Holy Spirit will help you to know how to give thanks and how to come before him. And if you're there and you want to publicly declare that you want to give your life to Christ, then I will give you an opportunity to raise up your hands that we, the church, can pray together with you. Is there anyone of us who wants to dedicate their lives to Christ or rededicate their life? Do you have anybody? Or if you want, you say like, you have had teachings about the Holy Spirit, but you have never given him an opportunity to take control and charge in your life. If there is no one, then I want us to sing that song, and as we take also the last song, we pair into two. I think here there is a policy of male and female, that you pray for your neighbor and ask the Lord to reveal to your neighbor what areas in your lives you need to give thanks for. And then together thank the Lord in your your life. If you hear any word, or the Lord has dropped something in your heart that you want to share with us, or you want to share with your neighbor, feel free to share with them. And then I will ask if you have any need afterwards, then there will be people around here praying for you. So I will ask blessing to Eop and Geoffrey for the mail. Pray for any need that may arise. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.